glad that you're here tonight. It's a beautiful night to doing something in remembrance of the Lord, as he said, do this in remembrance of me, and that's communion. So welcome to our communion service. You made the right choice tonight when you decided to come to the house of the Lord and partake in communion, which is one of only two institutions in the New Testament. The Old Testament was all full of different kinds of practices, but in the New Testament, you have water baptism and communion. But it just sums up all the power of Jesus Christ in those two things. It's our response to his cross. I want you to understand that. So I'm going to give you a word from the Word tonight. Are you ready for a word from the Word? Good. And I've entitled this word from the Word, Out of the Ashes into the Blessing, into the Blessings Double for Your Trouble. Out of the ashes, into the blessings, double for your trouble. And that's all biblical. That's a three-part title, and it's all biblical. And I'm going to begin reading from the book of Job, chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. And let me just kind of set the stage. God the Father kind of sets up Satan because he wants to bring something forth. He wants to give us 42 chapters of how to win and how to just stay in control and realize that God is always in control. And God's not going to let you be tempted or tested or hurt beyond, if you're a believer. And I believe everyone in here is a believer. And we're just so glad to have you here. Once again, I'm going to read from Job chapter 2. And God is having a conversation with Satan where he says this in verse 3. Job 2 and 3. Well, have you noticed my servant Job? The Lord asked. He is the finest man in all the earth. A good man who fears God and turns away from all evil. And he has kept his faith in me despite the fact that you persuaded me to let you harm him without any cause. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just plant your word into these hearts. I believe they're good hearts. In Jesus' name, just cause people to come alive with this truth. He says here, he has kept his faith in me. Now hear this. This is what brings this into July the 15th, 2021, here in Arkansas tonight. He has kept his faith in me despite the fact that you persuaded me to let you harm him without any cause. And I think one of the things that I've been asked a lot as a believer is, why is this happening to me? You know, what's happened to me? What did I do wrong? I've searched my heart, and I want to just say this, that we are not in heaven, but we can have heaven inside of us. Jesus is not down here with us. We're not up in heaven, but there is a devil. And that devil is here, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy in your life if he can. And the way that he does that is through thoughts of condemnation and thoughts questioning God and so many other thoughts like that. He tries to infiltrate your mind. And I want to say that it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. You know, when we have thunderstorms come through here, I mean, it just on everybody. And sometimes in life, and you may be going through one of these times, you may be going through a hard time. Let's read a little further. And so Satan talks to God. Satan is very arrogant to talk to God this way. And skin for skin, Satan replies, a man will give anything to save his life. Touch his body with sickness, and he will curse you to your face. So in verse 6, the Lord says, do with him as you please, the Lord replied. Only spare his life. And there are many verses that back up what I said a few minutes ago. Satan can't do everything, but he can do some things. God won't let you be tested or tormented above that which you're able to stand. And in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, now look, in this world, you're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Do with him as you please, only spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with a terrible case of boils from head to foot. Then Job took a broken piece of pottery to scrape himself, and he sat among the ashes. Many times in my life, I've sat among the ashes of things that have happened that I didn't see coming. I didn't think I deserved them. But sometimes things just happen. Stuff happens. And I think one of the most important things that we've got to do is not sull up when things happen and take a vacation from God because things didn't turn out like you thought they would. And that's what many people do. God knew, he knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega, and he knows the end from the beginning. He knew, and he made a show of Satan, who's the accuser of the brethren. Well, God just baited him, and he knew this here, that there was no way in the world that Job was going to get sour. He knew that he wouldn't. He knew who he was. And when he said he was one of the greatest men of all the earth at that time, he knew that. And he wanted to make a point. In the middle of his trial, Job says, I know my Redeemer is alive. And when I come through this, everybody say, when I come through this, I'm going to shine forth as pure gold. Now right here in the ashes, there may be one or two in this room right now tonight. You're having that type of a season where you're in the ashes of broken dreams and bad things that happen. I want you to know that you won't stay there. If you're with God, it's impossible to stay there. God's going to pull you out of that. As I said in my title, out of the ashes, into the blessings, double for your trouble. That's what the word says. And I want to encourage you to hold on to your faith and to realize, as Peter said, the same thing is accomplished in all your brethren. Every one of us go through tribulation at times. Every one of us is born in need of a Savior. Every one of us is in need of a priest, even today, as we're saved. Someone, a forgiver, somebody that will forgive us. That is what communion is all about. Let a person examine themselves and then take communion. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Even good people have bad experiences in this life. But I think maybe from what I've seen in my little short span here, you learn more about a person when they've suffered a loss than when they're on the mountaintop as to what they're made out of. Just to watch people. And I want to say this to you. You don't have to be sick because others are. You don't have to be broke. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to have anxiety. There's room for blessing in your life. And let's just talk about that for the next little bit of this short little message. As we go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, Jesus spoke these words. I speak them. I speak them over myself. This is what God has called me to do. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news. Everybody say good news. Now, the word, the Greek word gospel in our language means good news. It's the good news of Jesus. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce liberty to captives, and to open the eyes of the blind. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favor to them has come. And I want to speak something from this pulpit tonight. The time of God's favor for your life tonight has come. And some of you, how many of you need to see a turnaround in your life? Anybody? I see some hands. In Jesus' name, you don't have to suffer because others suffer. If you know who you are, and tonight, if you'll let me, I'm going to pull you up out of those ashes. Amen? All right. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favor to them has come, and the day of his wrath on their enemies, on their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks in his own glory. This is one thing I know. Being saved since I was 19 years old, I've been saved 50 years. I've been preaching 42, 43 years. And this is what I know. When you hear the word spoken, however it hits you, if you can believe it, tonight I want to say this to you. To all who mourn of God's people, God's going to give you beauty for ashes. And you're a time, if you're in a time of ashes right now, and if you believe God, and if you believe he can and will and wants to pull you out, and you're ready to be pulled out, I just want you to stand up. Father, in Jesus' name, as people are thinking about standing up, and some of them are standing up, I believe and declare, and I say unto them that you are pulling them up out of the ashes. You're pulling them up out of the ashes right now. Young lady, I don't know you, but I felt like you would stand up. And I just speak freedom and liberty to everyone who is standing right now, and blessing and that turnaround. They're coming up out of the ashes. In Jesus' name, you're coming up out of the ashes, and you're coming into the beauty and the blessings of God. God bless you. You may be seated, and say amen while you're sitting down. Beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning. You know, I've seen people in terrible predicaments still keep their giggle and still keep their praise and still keep their joy. And I remember a woman right in here, some years ago. I don't want to mention her name, but she had a fire in her house. And it wasn't Melissa Helton. We know she just, but no, this was 25 years ago. And she said, you know, Brother Angelo, as I saw that my house burning, she said, praise rose up inside of me because I knew that wasn't the end of my life. Praise rose up inside of me because my family was safe. And praise rose up inside of me And many, she had many reasons why that praise was coming out of her. Was she thanking God, saying, thank you for burning my house? No. What I'm saying is she said this, Lord, you're my Father, and I'm not going to part from you because something happened down here. And it wasn't long, she had a blessing. She had some blessings come in. Just like our beloved John and Melissa, they have some blessings come, and things are turning around. For God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. Did you know that God has planted you? According to Psalm 1, and I think I'm just going to read a little piece of that. I love that psalm. It's a great psalm. And I bet some of you like it here also. And this is what the word says in Psalm 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God, but they delight in doing everything God wants them to, and day and night are always meditating on God's laws. There are over 7,000 promises to men and women on this earth at this time. And when Jesus taught his disciples, how do we pray? He said, okay, our Father, first of all, you have to look at God the Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, let me just enlighten you. Jesus said in Luke 4, Mark 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word is bread. It is food for the believer. How do you eat it? When you have a problem, you take your smartphone and you say, I need Bible verses because I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay the rent this month. Or I need Bible verses because I want to get a good report from my doctor. I want to say that this church believes in doctors. I have a doctor. This church believes in medicine. But this church also believes in the divine, unexplained, miraculous touch of God. We've seen it here a million times. Time doesn't permit me to tell all of the things that we've seen. I mentioned this, I think, last week. Julie Cooley. The doctors assured her that she could not have babies. Is that correct, Julie? This was many years ago. She used to sit right back there. In many services, she would get up and say, I just want to thank God that I'm pregnant. I just want to thank God that he opened up my womb. I just want to thank God because I'm going to have children. And she had 3 children. And that wasn't the only one. Time doesn't... to tell you about Toni Stevens and her miracle baby who's about 20 years old now. That's Timothy. God's in the miracle business. But God will work through medicine. And God will work through rest. And God will work through doctors. Luke was a doctor. He traveled with Paul. He and you know what? We have evidence in the Word that he treated people when he ministered with Paul. You know what? Your friends just want you to be healed. I don't care how you get healed. And you have many avenues, many ways that you can get healed. Don't let anybody say you don't have faith if you go to the doctor. That's not true. Don't let anybody tell you those things. You're the apple of God's eye. God created doctors. God created medicine. Medicine was spoke of in the first book of the Bible. More than once, it was called balm. It was used for trade. It was the healing balm that they used, and they took it. Abraham took it. Jacob used it, sent it to Israel to trade for food. But, oh, the joys. But they delight in doing everything God wants them to, and day and night are always meditating on the laws and thinking about ways to follow him more closely. I want to say something. When there's a malady in your life, something that you want to get fixed, get on your smartphone, find those Bible verses, write them on a piece of paper, take a stick of gum, chew that gum, spit on it, and just tag that thing right on your refrigerator. And every time you go in there to get whatever, recite that verse and say, I'm going to believe that. That's my daily bread. That's my daily promise from the Lord. He's going to help me. He loves me. Romans 8:31 assures us, if God be for you, who can be against you? You don't have to be tired. You don't have to be weary. They are like trees along a riverbank, bearing luscious fruit each season without fail. Their leaves shall never wither, and all that they do prospers. I was a little kid, grew up on the north side of Chicago. I didn't have a dad. I had to work at a young age, and it didn't hurt me. I would steal. My friends and I would steal. They would steal for fun. I would steal for food. It was the two F's, fun or food. I would steal because I was hungry. And when I was 19 years old, I heard the gospel for the first time, and I asked Jesus to come into my life, and I have not been hungry since. I'm embarrassed to stand sideways and have you look at me, but the liberal soul would be made fat. That's what the word says. Now, the last place I'd like to read tonight, we'll go back to the book of Isaiah and back to 61. And I want to read verse 7. And it's part of the promise of the power of the Lord God that Jesus spoke in Isaiah 61 and verse 7. Instead of shame and dishonor, you shall have a double portion of prosperity. Now let's go for my title again. Out of the ashes, into the blessings, double for your trouble. The Word of God promises you this. I want somebody to hear this in case somebody's really hurting tonight. I want you to know that it's a solemn promise of God. He's going to give you double for your trouble. That Old Testament isn't over with. It's part of what brings forth the New Testament. That's what the Word says. And how many of you could use double for your trouble? I've got two hands up because amen. We've all been through it. This is a world that's confusing unless we spend ourselves walking with God, praying and praying the promises and knowing who you are. See, you know, when they adopt children, and that's what we are, the Word says in the New Testament, they have more rights than children that are naturally born. They have, don't they, Brother Larry? Yeah. They have more rights, and you were adopted by the Lord himself into his family, and he loves you. And I'm going to read it again. Instead of shame and dishonor, you shall have a double portion of prosperity and everlasting joy. You know, we can get what we want. Well, I want a car, and I want it to have this interior. I want it to get this mileage, and we might get that car. And that'll make us happy. But there's another experience. And it's called joy unspeakable and full of glory. And may I say this to you? That you want that. How many of you agree it's going to rain again? How many of you would say there's going to be another storm? How many of you say this is Tornado Alley and we could have a tornado? These things could happen to us. I'm telling you this. Whatever happens to you, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, three children, you got triple for your trouble. Julie, every time I see you, I'm so proud of you. You inspire me. And I just think about what God has done for you. God loves each and every one of you. There is nobody excluded from the promises of God. The promises of God are yea and amen to those that believe. A father with a very sick boy said, God, oh God, Jesus, if you'll help me, my boy will be okay. And Jesus said, if you believe, your boy will be okay. And he said, Jesus, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Help me. I'm having a bad day. I'm having a bad day. Sometimes God seems far off, but I want each and every one of you to know tonight that God loves you. God cares about what you're going through. And he sent his son here. The word says in the book of Hebrews, in the King James language, Jesus can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, he knows what it means to be hungry. The Father doesn't. He knows what it means to be thirsty. He knows what it feels like to be abandoned. And he knows all these things. And he died on that cross. And according to Ephesians chapter 4, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. He took the keys away from the devil. I want you to know that. He made an open show of victory in a battle with Satan. And he led captivity captive. There were some saints there. There's two sides of where he was talking about, and he led some of them out. And I want you to know he's coming soon. And I want you to take this very personally. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for you. I think it would be very easy to unfold in Scripture that if there was only one person, he would have went to that cross for just one person. You know, we try to do this every once in a while. And right before we take communion tonight, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus or has been away from Jesus and they want to come back, I just want you to stand up. No, I don't have the music, though I can play music. But if anybody needs to be saved tonight, would you stand up and we'll get you saved tonight? Anybody feel like you've been away for a long time and you want to come back to Jesus? We'll help you. Then let me tell you this here. It's time to take communion.